Son of Portas.
Refusing to take advantage of Friquet's arrest to make good his own escape, Joel has given himself up to the Lord Lieutenant of Paris Police for his participation in the fatal duel with Corporal de Bregy of the Royal Musketeers. The king has sent for my head, he says. I bring it on my shoulders. But just how long it will remain there is a matter of some doubt. The penalty for dueling is death, and Joel has been taken to that most dreaded of French prisons, the Bastille. Now his friends, Friquet and Bonmaron, sit glumly in the deserted Moorish trumpeter and gaze sadly at their good red wine and shake their heads.
That such as he should molder in the Bastille.
Alas, too much strength is like a fever in the blood. It makes a fool of a man. Death of my life, the Bastille.
Truth is, I like the young fool. Knew him but a matter of hours, yet twas the same as if we'd gone through a campaign together. He was an old campaigner, in truth, but he was satisfied with everything. Wine, meat, bread, waiter, and host. Oh, and such an appetite he had, and French like a professional. Aye, all this to rot in the Bastille.
And all for killing a good-for-nothing.
Yes, who still owes me for the liquor he enjoyed.
An old fool to be paid for as new. Best of my life. It is nothing short of criminal. And I've a mind to complain to His Majesty of such injustice.
His Majesty is not lenient where dueling is concerned, as we all know. Alas, that anyone so powerful as he should have such a poor opinion of fighting. I have a good mind to go back to the wars.
What good will that do, my brave Bonlaron?
A good fight takes a man's mind off his troubles. Zounds, but I'm weary of feeding pasty-faced youngsters who know not how to hold a sword. Upon my life, this has decided me. I'll trade my apron for the flag of France and be a soldier again.
Bravo, my friend. I've half a mind to come with you.
Why not? There's war enough for all. The neighbors of France have always felt their duty to keep our army employed. I'm sure we'll find room for a little one like you.
Little? Confound your man. I've a mind to finish you off with my rapier this instant and save some foreigner the job.
Oh, peace, peace, friend. I did but joke.
As a poor wit must use his friends as butts.
I could not wish a comrade with more courage, monsieur, whatever your size. Come, let's find a war together.
My friend, I like to fight as much as you, but I've come a long way to see the Minister of the Navy, and I'm not easily put off. First things first, I say. Tomorrow I shall take my letter of recommendation to the Lord and see where that will get me. Then I shall think about fighting.
Oh, these things take time. Now that I've made up my mind to fight again... Confound it all, I want to fight.
And fight you shall, and I with you. But first I must see the minister. Besides, if we stay in the capital a day or so, we may see Monsieur Joel again.
My friend, if he's gone to the Bastille, we'll not see him again, though we stay in Paris till the last trumpet goes down the Pas de la Mule.
Then I will see the minister as soon as possible. We will make all haste away from this sad spot. Alas, that I, a son of Paris, who sang in the choir with such childish innocence, should now be leaving with a heavy heart, merely because a gentleman insists upon placing his head upon the block to satisfy his honor. You are right. We will go. There is no further use in waiting for Joel.
Mm-hmm.
no use in waiting longer, Mademoiselle de Tremblay. Monsieur Joël has not come. He has sent no message.
Perhaps he had either business last night.
Ah, oh, child. You do not speak with your heart when you say that. Your heart knows he loves you above all things. There could be no other business for Monsieur Joël.
No, you are right. I believe that he loves me.
There is no doubt of it. He has no other thought but for you.
Oh, Madame d'Aubigny, this is why I'm so alarmed at his absence now. Truly, I know that he would come to me though oceans barred his way. Or at least arrange some message to set my mind at ease.
If you believe so implicitly in his love, and I am assured that you do, you must have faith, child, and wait in patience until you hear from him.
Truly, I will try. But, oh, Madame, I am afraid. If those who attack me now vent their spite on him who did protect me, if he should die...
Upon my honor, how the young are obsessed with death. He is not one to die easily, your hero.
And yet, we all must die.
He will come back to you, never fear. Somehow I know. Meanwhile, you must prepare to go to Saint-Germain.
I would definitely prefer to stay here, madame, in case...
If he comes, Honorine will tell him where you are. Believe me, child, the charity of Madame la Marchioness is not to be trifled with.
She was very kind to me. Surely she would not mind if I stayed here a little while longer.
I have been with my lady many years, mademoiselle. It is better in the long run to do as she wishes. It saves unpleasantness. Besides, it is to your advantage. Here you are in danger. But then your name will be safe.
If only I knew Joël was safe also.
He has a strong arm, my child, and a good sword.
But we need not go today.
I think tomorrow. You still need rest, my child. Try to set your mind at ease. Your champion will come back to you, I'm sure of it. In these things, I am never wrong.
If I could but wait...
There is no use waiting, child. He will come when he is able. Enter.
Madame, a message from the lady.
So soon? Can something have gone wrong?
His Majesty the King has arrived at Saint-Germain.
On my honor, so soon.
There's a messenger says the lady was most concerned that she was not there to welcome him.
I'll warrant it was a great disappointment.
No, so that Mademoiselle was not with her. But she sends orders that you accompany Mademoiselle to Saint-Germain immediately.
Oh, madame.
Immediately. Hush, child. These things cannot be helped. Was that all, Honorine?
No, madame. The message adds that His Majesty the King has seen fit to honor you, madame, with the title of Marchioness de Souze, for your care and devotion to the royal children.
Marchioness de Souze.
Oh, His Majesty honors me indeed. Perhaps he was right, the little fortune teller. I must hasten to Saint-Germain to thank my liege. Tell my lady's messenger we shall leave immediately, Honor.
Yes, my
lady. Send Nicole and Suzette to me at once and order the carriage, Honor.
Yes, my lady.
Oh, madame. My lady, must I leave this friendly house so soon? Must I leave Paris? And Joël?
Child, there is no help for it. Be of good heart, for you are in safe hands. And I am of the firm belief that Providence will watch over such a one as Joël. Come now, bear up. Though your heart is heavy with fears and suppositions. When the Marchioness de Montespan summons, it is only the foolhardy who stay behind. We have no time to waste. It is a long journey, and the Marchioness will be waiting.
So, Francoise, you have come. I have been waiting with the utmost impatience.
It is a long journey, my lady, and we made it in good time with all haste.
Was it my summons that brought you, Francoise? Or the King's favor in exalting you to the rank of Marchioness?
I came because you sent for me, my lady.
Though no doubt you are overcome with joy at your new rank also.
Naturally, my lady. I shall beg leave to offer my gratitude to His Majesty at the first opportunity.
Tomorrow morning he holds court in the palace gardens, so you will not have long to wait. Then you may return with all haste to Paris. You have been honored, my dear Francoise, because of your devotion to the royal children. So it seems to me only right that you should return to them as speedily as possible.
Yes, my lady.
Care and devotion to the royal children. Without doubt, that is a barb for me, Francoise. From all reports, His Majesty has not returned in the best of humors with me.
Then you have not seen him, my lady?
He returned unexpectedly. No one has seen him. except the queen, who is indisposed. Alas, that our beloved queen should suffer such poor health. Do you remember what the fortune teller said, Francois?
Many things, my lady.
She said all obstacles would be removed from my path, and the queen is indisposed. It's sad, is it not, Francois?
Is she seriously indisposed, my lady?
Court gossip says not, but one cannot always believe the gossip. It is gossip also that says His Majesty is out of humor with me.
His Majesty is very fond of you, my lady.
His Majesty stands in awe of me, Francoise, and well he may. I have my plans, and I am not to be put aside for a whim or a humor. I have much power, and I intend to keep it. Where is Mademoiselle de Tremblay?
I am here, my lady.
You are right, Francoise. She is beautiful. Why are you trembling, Mademoiselle? Is something wrong?
Oh, my lady, truly, there is nothing wrong, my lady, but she is overcome with fatigue. She will be better in the morning.
I hope you are right, for tomorrow we wait upon the king. Francoise will offer her grateful thanks for the honor of her new rank, and I have my own communications to make to my lord. Mademoiselle de Tremblay will also appear.
I beg of you, my lady, to spare me this ordeal, if it be not necessary. I am not used to such gatherings, and am truly indisposed.
I assure you, mademoiselle, it is most necessary.
I am not fully recovered from the malady which...
On my honor, child, I never saw one so afeard of meeting royalty. Truly, it is the ambition of most. I know. And yet such pretty weakness and modesty pleases me greatly, as does a pallid cheek and air of frailty. But get well, have no fear. The king will not bite, I assure you. Particularly when you are under my protection.
I must thank you for a charity and offering such protection to me, my lady. And if I seem ungrateful for your kindness, it is but that I do not yet feel sufficiently strong to do you credit at a royal gathering.
It suits me well enough to have you pale and silent. Long tongues prick many feet at court, my child, and you are too young and pretty to be hurt. Have no fear, then. Obey my instructions. Do as I say, and no harm shall come to you. From this moment, mademoiselle, you are in the protection of the Marchioness de Montespan.